Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Donovan McNabb joins us momentarily. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Bedlam of October is back. Shop world-class diamonds to make her feel like a world champion every day at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. The question, do you like Nick Sirianni jawing with Baker Mayfield yesterday? Do you love it or are you annoyed by it? What do you think the results are, Ike?
Love it.
Give me a percentage.
68.
58.3% love it. Yeah. Love it in a win, hate it in a loss.
I think. Of course. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely would have hated it in a loss.
Did you ever have a coach who would have, in the NFL, would have done that? It's certainly not an Andy thing.
Yeah.
You
no,
know what?
No
you know, Jim Moore Jr. was sort of. He was one of those passionate type coaches. I don't remember him getting into it with any players like that, but he certainly was a little bit of a hothead on the sideline.
And what did you think when you saw it?
Oh.
Did you just go, that's coach?
Sort of, because, you know, as a player, you're kind of like, coach is fired up. He's usually arguing on our behalf or fighting for something for us. So that sort of lights a little bit of a fire under you. It's when it becomes something that's a distraction or it's always there where you'll roll your eyes like, oh, God, here he goes again. Kind of like Nick was early.
Yes.
You know, when Jalen used to get like, you know, Jalen would do the eye roll thing like, oh, God.
Yeah, there he goes again.
There he goes again.
Well, yeah. the thing with Nick is you want him to be that fiery guy. It's a matter of finding the balance of when to do it, when not to do it. You know, because when you do things like that, and you lose, people will throw it back in your face.
Yes.
You know?
Well, you should never talk to another player. Normally, it was yelling at the official.
Yes.
That's what Jim
Moore was. Not at the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, it wasn't opposing players.
Saying Baker.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, joining us now, the greatest quarterback in Eagles history and the greatest guest in WIP afternoon show history.
Oh, I tell you, you're getting better and better every week, man.
That is one Donovan McNabb. What's up, Donovan?
Good afternoon, fellas. What's going on?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man, just another somber day out there in Philadelphia, huh? Everybody just, you know, trying to nitpick a win, huh?
No, we're not doing that. We're being positive. We're being positive.
Okay. So well, what's the first question you're going to ask me?
I'm going to ask you, in the first half of yesterday's game, what did you see that went right for the Eagles offensively?
Well, good thing our special teams are playing well, but I will say this. I think as far as our offense is concerned, I talked about it at the beginning of the season. A lot of where we are right now is the fact that these guys do not play in the preseason. And I think, you know, obviously saving bodies from the long season that we had last season and the hoopla and everybody getting excited. But we have to remember that we have a new coordinator in place and it's new play calling, it's fresh ideas, it's still keeping the same approach and mentality, but we're not doing that. And the way that I look at it is first of all, the first couple of weeks is to me is about guys kicking rust off, somewhat getting themselves in game shape because they didn't play in the preseason. And then I look at the play calling. We are not utilizing the play action game and also Saquon Barkley the way that we should. Now, obviously, he's got a lot of wear and tear on his wheels at this particular point, and we don't want to kind of just, you know, just give them 30 carries a game or 25 to 30 carries. I look at where Saquon is at this particular point, coming off a great season. He should at least get 18 carries with about maybe five or six, you know, catches out of the backfield and utilize them in that way. I thought this game was more or less to try to please, you know, all the fans and show them, hey, you know, we can throw the football when we really didn't throw the football downfield as much as we could have, which led to our first half performance being so much different than our second half performance. So right now I think the problem is that we have no identity with this offense. It's up in the air each and every week. And until they really establish that, we're going to continue to have questions and people are going to be watching with a magnifying glass.
So when you say they haven't established their identity, which by the way, I agree. I think overall from the team, they're 4-0, which is great. Last year, we knew exactly who the team was. We don't really know who they are this year.
We really didn't know. Yeah. And to be honest, it's not to cut you off, but we didn't know. And that was part of my questioning last year. And Ike will be able to back me with this.
Yep.
That was my main thing. It was, what is our identity? And that was something that I told everyone, that with our new coordinator, who's not known for running the football, because him being in Dallas, they didn't have the running attack that we had here in Philadelphia. Then going over to the Chargers, he didn't have it as well. Didn't utilize Austin Eckler as what we had to use, obviously, Saquon with. So he was catching the ball out of the backfield, run some screen routes, and then, you know, he would get occasional maybe 12 carries a game or so. But now you got a workhorse, and now you got to change the identity of this football team. And I think it may have been, I could be wrong here, but it may have been around week five to seven, even though he came out and ran the football well against Green Bay overseas. But I still thought that he was still trying to form an identity of what we were really going to be. And it wasn't until about week five, week six, week seven.
Oh, yeah. I meant by the end of the year, we knew what the identity was. That was the context.
But again, now we're starting over, and it's tough. It's tough for him because it could go either way. It could be in a position where it changes for the better like it did last year, or it could be the year when we did go undefeated early on, and all of a sudden the bottom fell out, and we lost a bunch of those games toward the end of the season, and our coordinators both got fired.
So when you're looking at the personnel here, if you were to design the offense, if you were to say, here is the identity we have, what does the offense look like in its best form, in your opinion? Because we can't do what we did last year, right?
Well, yes and no. You know, because you got to give a lot of credit to other teams that you're playing because they're going to game plan that as well. It has to be more of a downhill type of running attack because then we can utilize our play action game. Now, with that play action game, it's not so much always taking shots downfield, but what you're doing is you're putting a lot of pressure on safeties and linebackers by the play action with Saquon Barkley. And now that's when your tight ends begin to get a little bit more involved, your slot receivers. And then you can utilize your big receivers, meaning your A.J. Browns, and then you can get over the top with some of your faster receivers. But one thing I will say this is that every time that I look at our passing game when it's clicking, there's a receiver that continues to gel and continues to shine because he's such a great route runner, and that's Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. I think he has to be more of a vital part of this offense. And, yes, A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown, but I think what you do is you attack a little bit more the intermediate to downfield with Devontae Smith because he's such a great route runner, and be able to utilize A.J. Brown in the intermediate part of the field, which will lead to, obviously, Dallas Goedert being a little bit more involved, Saquon Barkley on your checkdowns getting more involved, and then other guys being able to at least contribute to what we're doing. But it has to start with the downhill running attack.
Yeah, I thought the first half, man, Kevin Petullo did a very good job play calling. It looked like they did some different stuff. They got the tight end involved, a little shovel pass. I know you love the shovel pass. They ran that in the first
easy
half.
Easy touchdown. Good easy touchdown. Yep, Thank you very much.
And if the ball hits the ground, it's an incomplete pass. It's
incomplete,
not a fumble.
Pass.
Yeah, so right. I like what they did in the first half. Man, what happened in the second half? Like, what were they doing differently that didn't work in the first half, work in the second half, that they were doing in the first half? I just can't figure out why we can't put two halves together of good offensive football.
Well, if you look at the numbers, and what do we go, 0 for 8 in the second half?
Yep.
To only throw for less than 115 yards in the first half, that's not very good.
Yeah.
And to think about it, what is that average? Maybe about, 7 yards a reception, 8 yards a reception?
Mm-hmm.
So now, pretty much, if you look at it from a player standpoint and now the quarterback standpoint, pretty much you're hitting checkdown. You know what I mean? So your routes are quick hitches, slant, quick game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might get a 15-yard reception here and there. It's not like you got a 30-yard reception. It's not like you got an explosive play in there where all of a sudden you're 9 for 11 with 115 yards because you got an explosive play. To me, it was more a methodical type of offense, and then we weren't able to open it up. And so when I look at the 9 targets that A.J. got, half of them looked like it was more of just trying to get him a catch.
Right.
I give credit to Ben Morrison, who, I've watched Ben since he's been pretty much in high school. And Ben played A.J. great. But the route running, I look at it like we could easily run dig routes with A.J. Brown, some shallow cross routes with A.J. Brown, where now he's on the move. Put him in the slot a little bit to run a post or attack the safeties in cover two, or whatever it may be. But just being outside, yeah, if you got a good corner who's sitting on those quick intermediate routes, he's going to do what he did with A.J. Brown, be able to knock it down. Like, if you look at the catches that A.J. had in the Rams game,
yeah,
they weren't explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
They were curl routes. They were stop routes. He might have to catch an out cut at about 6 to 8 yards or maybe deeper. But it wasn't anything like he was attacking downfield on a post.
He caught the one deep ball. He caught the one deep ball.
That was a goal
in
ball.
The second half. Yeah, he caught the one.
That was one goal ball.
Yep.
But that's not like a staple in this offense with A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it goes back to 2 years ago when we did attack more downfield. But it was a new coordinator. It was, somebody that's not there anymore. But I just look at where we are right now with this offense. It's so methodical that it's more, everything under 15 yards or 18 yards, you know what I'm saying? And so it's not pressing the ball downfield. And you got to be able to utilize your guy in the backfield, being Saquon, where we utilize Brian Westbrook. Like, everybody knew what Brian Westbrook could bring to the table. It was running the football, catching the football, and also picking up the blitz. Same thing with Saquon is. Yeah. But we got to utilize him in that way.
Yep.
So A.J. has never been one to be a church mouse when he's not happy about not getting the ball. And I was curious if you had seen the tweet he sent out yesterday after the game and your reaction to that.
One thing that I don't do is I don't try to break down cryptic messages.
Right.
If you're going to say something and you've already wasted, expended the energy of typing this, then just say what's on your mind. Like, the whole deal, and I try to, go back to everything that I've been seeing, the whole reading of the book on the sideline, when everybody laughed and joked and all of a sudden the book sales went out, that ain't something that I'm used to seeing on the sideline. And coaches, when I came up, that's disrespectful to the team and coaches. And so now we're the tweet game is starting to come into effect, where I'm sure that's a conversation that somebody's having in the building. Like, I don't know what you meant by that. What did you mean by that? Somebody needs to ask that. Like, what did you mean by that? I mean, really, to be honest with you, and I think where we are in today's game and where these guys are of just being, want to be free and have their own podcast and do all this other stuff where they're talking, that type of stuff stays in the locker room. And when it comes out, it becomes a problem. Because I guarantee you this, if they lose this next game, they're going to go back to that tweet, and it's going to be, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think they'll wait till the next game to be good, to be quite
wait
honest.
Till Wednesday.
I guarantee you this week people may ask a little bit around that question. They won't go right into it, and they won't get the answer they think you're going to get. And so now, if things don't get better next week or it gets worse, now where are we at? We're going to go back to what we've been asking this week. And why did you put that out there?
It was one of the better games we've seen. And Quinyon Mitchell has been excellent since he's been an Eagle, but that was one of his better.
I agree.
Yesterday, one of his better performances. When you're watching Quinyon Mitchell, what is your analysis of him as a corner and what his future might look like?
Future, I don't know. But as of right now, I remember when he came out of college, I thought he was a dog. He had great hips. You know, he was an aggressive corner. He was a guy that you didn't see too many people running past him. He does a great job with his physicality as well as his movement. He's very balanced. And it shows. I thought he should have been Defensive Rookie of the Year. But the problem is we got to fill in that other corner. We got to find out who's on that other side. We've already been through three of them. And I will say Ringo, who I've watched through high school when he was here in Arizona, I think he's a solid corner, but he's more of a zone corner. He's more of a zone corner where he has to be off and looking at the quarterback. He's not a man corner. He's more of a zone, which is not bad because in Vic Fangio's offense, that's kind of what he needs from his corner. I've never seen Quinyon Mitchell moving and following a receiver, which now they know that can happen. But that other corner has to play well. So, yes, you want Cooper DeJean inside where he's playing a nickel back or possibly playing the number two receiver. I thought he would be the opposite corner, but he's doing a great job in the role that he's asked to do. So, defensively, I will say I'm impressed by the way they've been playing. But offensively, we got to be able to, you know, be a little bit more explosive.
Yeah, I mean, most of our explosive plays last year were Saquon, and we haven't had one this year, you know. And it's been a huge change. So we've talked so much about the passing game. It's almost like the fact that they haven't been able to run the ball well has not
run the football.
Yeah,
correct. And that's where it starts. It starts with the run game. And you can do so much in the run game. And yes, we've had some guys in and out on the O-line that have been banged up. Yes, I understand that. But we have to run the football, at least attempt-wise. It has to be a consistent, not just with Jalen adding to the run game. But in the run game we have with Saquon and A.J. Dillon, we should be able to run the football at least 35 times a game.
All right, Donovan. Great as always.
4-0, big dog. 4-0.
4-0.
Yes, we are 4-0. We are 4-0. Yes, winning covers up a lot. But when we start getting to the midpoint and later part of the season, answers got to be delivered.
Look at you nitpicking. We're just happy they won.
I'm not nitpicking. I'm just putting a straight out statement out there.
I got gotcha.
It does. It does. Right, now you're nitpicking.
No, I'm not. I am not nitpicking. You're nitpicking. All right, Donovan. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, broski.
All right, you guys. Take it easy. You guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There he is, Donovan McNabb. You know, the play action thing is, here's the issue. Is that play action doesn't really work unless you're under center, right?
Most of the time.
You can do that thing when you're a shotgun. Yeah, it doesn't really work. So the problem is that just from a comfort level, it doesn't seem like Jalen is super comfortable passing the ball under center. So the problem is that if the only thing that you're doing when you're under center
is
that or running the ball, no one's ever going to buy that you are – like he's just not comfortable passing out of that formation. So if they could get – we talked about it a little bit last year. Mm-hmm. It's just the defense has to wonder what's going to happen when you're in a certain formation. And they don't really wonder what's going to happen when they're under center because they only run the ball when they're under center.
Yeah, I mean, listen – quarterbacks that are good at the play action, you got to turn your back to the defense, fake like you're giving a run, and then you got to get that head around quick and be able to read that defense and know where you're going with the football. Some quarterbacks, you know, these guys don't come up playing under center and playing that way, right? I think about the quarterback in New York now, Jackson Dart.
Yep.
He spent his whole college career in a shotgun.
Yeah.
And you put these guys under center, they're not as comfortable. So with Jalen throwing the ball, I don't think he's ever been comfortable playing from under the center. Like you said, usually he's going to hand the ball off if he's under center. And we don't do much play action. Hell, if any. Man, I love to see, you know, Peyton Manning used to do that, you know, that stretch play action where he fakes like they're going to run the ball to the outside and he pulls it back and now you're ready to throw the ball down the field. Yeah, we don't do any of that type of stuff.
Well, my lot of said after the game that he wants more play action.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And the last time the offensive line
last
said
time they
something.
Spoke.
Yeah. Well, they're big.
They want.
They got their way.
They're big guys. They tell you what they want. You do it.
Yeah.
Well, they're too big.
Saquon has carried the ball the second most in the league.
Really?
77 carries behind Josh Jacobs has 80 carries.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, good thing we're giving him a lighter load this year.
But Josh Jacobs looks fine.
Nope.
You don't think so?
3.5 yards per carry.
I thought he had some big runs last night. Looked spry.
Well, nobody was playing defense last night.
That was a good game.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm looking at his carries, and both of those guys, I didn't even look at Derek Henry's, but both of those guys shouldered the load last year for their team, Saquon and Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
And you see this year, they're not averaging 4 yards a carry.
Derek Henry's got to hold on to the football.
Who could have predicted that?
He's fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jackson Dart. That kid's – God bless him. He's going to be hurt within 3 weeks. You see the way he runs.
League neighbors.
Yeah, you see the way he runs the ball. He is somebody's going to drill him. You know, like I can just tell by watching. He thinks he's young and you know he could do whatever. He's in the NFL now. So
oh
like,
yeah, don't worry, he'll get that welcome moment.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Oh, James in Nashville, you never got your one more thing out. What's your one more thing?
Hey, I just wanted to get y'all's take on the. AI step over by Cooper DeJean. To me, it was electric. I would have taken a 50-yard penalty and automatic.
My thing with the taunting
electric.
Is
electric.
Like, who's the taunting for? Like people, the fans like it.
Yeah, but they don't want them taunting other players.
Yeah,
because
they don't want players to retaliate.
That's the problem.
And I understand it. It's just this is football. Like their goal is to go out there and like almost hurt the other player in a way. It's like hard to just tone that down when they make a big play.
Well, you just don't do
exactly.
it. So, we just can't celebrate in the guy's face.
Yeah. And by That's the way, thank you for the
he
call, James.
He did not have to step over it.
No.
I'm just saying, but when you do that, they're looking for it.
Yeah.
Like they're looking for it. And I thought Coop played a hell of a game yesterday.
He did.
Played a hell of a game yesterday. Tackles everywhere.
Yeah.
By the way, Zach Bond, too. Zach Bond somehow looks better this year than he looked last year. He looks electric, Zach Bond. He's all over the place.
Jihad, he'll learn.
Yes.
Don't lose your luggage. Keep your eyes on your luggage.
I saw there was a quote from Zach Bond afterwards. He said he doesn't even know what he's doing yet,
yeah.
that he's this good. Like he's going to be really, really,
oh,
really
yeah.
good.
Yeah, you can see it. Because anytime you're playing this well this early, he hasn't even learned the NFL game yet.
Yeah, especially when he's going to be an edge rusher.
Yeah, he's going to have to learn two positions.
Well, we're waiting.
Yeah.
They could use some help on the edge.
And Drew. Keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
I don't know how he missed that ball.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, the deep one. Yeah,
yes, it went right next to his arm. Yeah.
I don't know how he missed that.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494 as we continue to talk about yesterday's Eagles win. Eagles are 4-0 next weekend against the Denver Broncos.
Ooh, another spike.
On
game.
A short week.
Yeah.
Because they play tonight against the
Bengals.
Bengals, right.
Ooh.
It's two games tonight.
Some tough football tonight.
Jets,
Dolphins, and Bengals, Broncos.
AJ's going to have to deal with Pat Surtain next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he'll have a lot of fun with that.
How about you, Jack?
What?
You think they should just switch jerseys
yeah.
at halftime?
Again, I'm very, very, very Team AJ. Ooh.
You imagine Pat Surtain and Quinyon Mitchell?
I know.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Come on.
Well, listen, we don't throw the ball anyway.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think – why didn't they go after – it was interesting to me. I there must be a scheme reason of something the Eagles were doing that prevented the Bucs from targeting Ringo. Because it seemed like they went after Quinyon the whole game instead of going after Ringo.
Well, because Quinyon followed whatchamacallit everywhere.
Yeah, the rookie. The good receiver.
Yeah. Emeka Buku.
Emeka Buku.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494.
They had to throw it to him.
Yes.
They didn't have anybody else to throw
Godwin,
it to.
But Godwin's been – that was his first game of the year, right?
Yeah.
All right. Jack's got his game balls coming up next.
Hell yeah.
And I actually think, real quick.
Yeah.
Ringo had probably a play or two he wishes he had back, but –
he was all right.
I thought he played well yesterday.
He made a big play on third or fourth down. Mm-hmm. He made a tackle back there.
Yeah. I thought Ringo, I got to give him credit. He played well yesterday, first start out there.
Jack, you got your game balls ready?
Sure do.
Yeah.
Who's going to get them? They're all huddling around the radio.
Yep. After Nick's press conference.
Yeah. That took an hour.
Yep. All right. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.